Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. This is a separate show, but it's a continuation of Suspense Radio here, Inside Edition, on this Sunday morning. But it's a one-on-one special with very special guest author Lee Swift talking about his latest book, Morvicti Blood. If you heard me on the last one, you see how I screwed up the name, but I got it right now. And so we want to welcome Mr. Swift here to the show to talk about his first thriller book ever. He's written dozens of books before, but you might not have heard the name Lee Swift because it was under somebody else. So, Lee, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And, yes, it was under a different name. That's
yes,
true.
Yes, it was under. And it was a totally different genre. It was a very interesting genre.
Exactly.
So, but that's
you
all
know,
right because writing is writing, and they're all thrillers.
True. It's interesting how I got into writing. Screenplays.
Oh, hold on.
Sister.
Oh, you're breaking up. I think you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit. So I think
okay.
Are you on Skype? Oh, that's better.
I am. You want?
Okay, we got.
Is this better?
We got you. No,
okay.
I got you now. I got you now.
Right.
You know, with
all
the
right.
internet, you just never know what's happening. But
that's
so
right.
That's
right.
Because what you've done is we. You know, Suspense Publishing is publishing you. And so, you know, we set out, you had a 99-cent kind of a novella, I guess you want to say, called Morvicti Execution. And it kind of let people know a little bit about what was going on and about the character. And then we jump in here to now Morvicti Blood, which is the actual, you know, book that just came out on the 19th of January. So it's been out for about 5 or 6 days now. So give everybody a little taste of, you know, Morvicti Blood, but not just that, but the execution and kind of, you know, jumping back and forth because this is your first thriller book. It's a totally different kind of genre, but it is your passion, it is your love, and it's great that you're able to, you know, come out from behind the shadow of the other name and bring yourself out now with your name.
Sure. And I am so thrilled to be part of Suspense Publishing and, you know, Shannon
you know
is
what?
The
Hold
reason.
Go
are
ahead.
We breaking up some more?
Yeah.
Are we breaking up some
yeah,
more?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know,
but no, we're okay now.
You know,
do it up. No, go ahead.
Okay. Let me tell you what we can. You know, if you want, I can call back via the landline or the cell phone. I'm on Skype right now. If you're having trouble,
if it happens again, maybe we will. But right now, you're okay.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled to be part of Shannon, you know, you and Shannon's team and on Suspense. I love it, and I'm thrilled. And the short actually came about because Shannon is the one who said, hey, would you write a short? Well, the short novella, Morvicti Execution, came after the book was finished, Morvicti Blood. So I had to come back and think, okay, how am I going to do a prequel to this big, bulky world? Because our main lead, which is Austin McCord, is a Navy SEAL, and he wakes up and he discovers this whole new world, which he didn't know he was a part of, but has been his whole life. And so I came back and I thought, what if another person had sort of a similar experience, although she had, her name's Cassie, and she's a police officer, and she decides, you know, she thinks her mom's crazy because her mother talks about this shadowy world of people that are pulling the strings, sort of like an Illuminati kind of idea, and yet they live longer than us. They're Homo sapien. They're not Homo sapiens, but they are a hominid like us. And that idea, the whole concept came about. I don't know if you identified a new hominid and called it the Disovan, and they were living alongside the Homo sapiens, which in the same community. And I thought, how interesting. You have two basically human-looking species living side by side. And what happened, it to that species? What if it continued on living? And so that was the idea of the book, that there's these two species living side by side. One knows about the other doesn't know about this different species. And that's what happened.
Hey, Lee, real quick, yes. You go ahead, call back on the landline real quick because you're breaking up again, and go ahead, okay. And I'll fill the time. So go ahead and call back in real quick on the landline. But I want to let everybody know here, of course, that, you know, you can visit leeswift.org, of course, for more information on the book. And when we, full disclosure, of course, I own Suspense Publishing and my wife, Shannon. And so when we got, Morvicti and we figured out this is a book that we wanted to publish, the great thing that we have found out is that because Lee has written in a different genre, even though it was another genre, that the writing was just stellar. And that's the thing that got us into it, is the fact that when you write, you write, and it doesn't make a difference really what you write. And now we got Lee back on. So go ahead, Lee, and just continue your thought about more like the execution and those types of things. Yep. Oh, yeah, beautiful. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, internet connection. Thank you,
That's
21st
all right.
Century.
I don't mind. I just fill the time talking. I talk in the bathroom to myself when Shannon just laughs at me and says, what are you doing? So, yeah.
As do I.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
I don't think insanity is the problem.
There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. It's when you start answering yourself, then you know you have a problem.
Well, you know what? If you ask most writers, they probably are answering themselves.
They do. I think a lot of them do.
We're wired. But on the short, I'm originally from West Texas. And so while the book, Morvicti Blood, is set primarily in London, it does visit mm-hmm. other locations. I wanted to kind of highlight my hometown, San Angelo. My sister lived in Merton, Texas, and so I know that area so well, and so that's why I put Cassie there, Cassie Wright, who's the police officer. And basically the story is her mother has been telling her these stories about the Morvicti her whole entire life, and she has thought her mother was basically crazy. And what happens, she goes home, mom's called Wolf, somebody's coming to get me, and sure enough, there's been a murder. And she starts realizing these crazy, far-out stories her mother was telling might be true. And she's plunged into this shadowy world that she has to navigate. And people aren't who she thinks they are. People she thought, she could trust aren't necessarily, people she should put her faith in. And so she ends up running on this big chase into Lubbock, Texas, which I don't know if anybody knows Lubbock, Texas, of your listeners.
Texas Tech.
There you go. You're right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's really how it happened. But, I just wanted to give everybody a little taste of the bigger book. And the feedback's been fantastic of people that have read it. And I'm just thrilled with the response. And then the bigger book, if you want to dive in deeper and understand more about this world and the things that are happening, I introduce the main character, which is Austin McCord. He's a Navy mm-hmm. SEAL, and also his sister, Angelique. They are reunited after she's thought he has been dead for 10 years. And there's murders and craziness going on in the streets of London that only Austin really has the power to change. And it really could cause problems, not just in London, but in the entire world, because the balance of this power, of this hidden power of these people pulling the strings, could be shifting if these murders aren't stopped. So that's sort of the concept of that crazy book. But you mentioned about me being writing other books, and that's absolutely true. I've been full-time for about 6 years. I've been writing my entire life, actually. My sister and I wrote screenplays, and her name was Angelique. That's why that main character is very dear and near to my heart. And we had done really well in writing screenplays. We had, I don't know if ever heard the Project Greenlight that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck had put on. Well, we got into that and actually moved up in the ranks very quickly. We went down to Austin to
Southwest and met some people. We met Mr. Black, who wrote Lethal Weapon, and we met Goldberg and several people. But a month later, my sister was diagnosed with cancer. And so everything changed. The writing got put way back to the back, and we had to focus on her health and trying to get her well. Unfortunately, she lost her battle to cancer and died about 18 months later. And I stopped writing completely. I didn't write anything, and because I had been such a collaborator my whole life. And when I was I worked at a major telecom company for years, and a friend of mine was writing romance novels, Shayla Black, and she said, "You need to write. You know, it's in you. You're a writer. You have to write if you're a writer, because it'll get all bottled up." And we'd go to lunch every week, you know, and she'd keep pushing me and pushing me. And she said, "You need to write an erotic romance." And I thought, what would I know about erotic romance for women? I've never read romance. I've never, you know anything about it. So she started shoving these books to me, and I thought, well, okay, here's a crazy idea. What do you think? She said, "You better write the damn thing." And I said, okay, I'm going to write it. And with no idea that it would even see the light of day. There's so many things that are written that are, you know, that don't find a house, a publisher, or somebody that will love it and try to champion it for you. But to my luck, somebody grabbed it. I got published the first time out, and away I went. And I was under that other pen name for a long time, and very thankful. I mean, I love my stories. And the one thing that publisher said to me was that you like suspense, because even though I had to stay within the confines of that genre, which, you know, it's a wonderful genre, and the fans are amazing, I must tell you.
The fans of the other genre are rabid.
They're rabid. You're right.
They're rabid fans. It's like a rabid dog. They're like Cujo got bit by the raccoon. I mean, fans of romance books are freaking rabid. I've seen them at those conventions and this and that, and I'm like, my Lord, you guys are freaking rabid.
Well, I will tell you what they do, John, for the author is they are like champions on social media. You know, I listened to you talking to Daniela about, you know, having to market and all those kind of things, which are absolutely critical. I don't care, with publisher, self-pub, you have got to promote yourself. But the advantage of the romance fan is they're a little marketer for you. They will go out on every Twitter and Goodreads and everywhere and just really push you if they fall in love with you. And it's just it's an amazing genre, and I love it. I really do. But my heart has always been in suspense. I mean, and thrillers. I'm a huge fan of Dan Brown and, you know, Thomas Harris and Tom Clancy. Of course, Steve Barry, you know, I adore him, and Liz, Michael Crichton, you know, all those. I love them. And that's what I grew up reading, you know, and Stephen King. And so that's where my heart has been. And so this work has been in play. I mean, I was working on it on the side while I was keeping the romance business going, and finally happened, you know, to get it. I pitched it to Steve and Liz at dinner one time, Steve Barry, and he was just basically like, "You better write this thing. You better write it. You need to." And, you know, he was so, his encouragement and, you know, support has been fantastic, Liz as well. And then that's how I, you know, went to ITW in New York a couple of years ago, met you guys, and, you know, the rest is history.
Here we are.
And I'm thrilled. I'm beyond thrilled, I'll be honest. So I love being in partnership with you and Shannon, and it's just exciting.
Well, let's get into it here. More Vic D. Blood. Give everybody a little taste of, you know, not only who Austin McCord is, what they're going to experience, you know, with this story as they dive into it. And then if they want to go back and do the execution part, or either way, they can read the execution one first, get into Blood, whichever they want to do. So what are they going to expect when they get into More Vic D. Blood?
Well, I hope it's a roller coaster for them. And I think what's going to happen, Austin, he's an amazing guy. He is this Navy SEAL, and he has his twin is Angelique, and they left basically on terrible terms. at the funeral of their adoptive parents, and he couldn't bear the emotion, and so he basically shut her out and he focused on his career. She went to London to go to school. He went, of course, to the Middle East and became special ops and all kinds of things that were happening. But he's shot in an operation in Iraq, 2003, and he wakes up in a underground facility, medical facility in London, and he doesn't know how he got there. He realizes it's 10 years later. There's other people on gurneys around him. This doesn't look like a military hospital. It doesn't look like a civilian hospital. And there's nobody there. And he sees this picture of his sister by his bed, and he's asking himself, was she here? Where is anybody? This is so strange. But then when he looks up, he sees a body. And he realizes things are not what they seem. Is she still in London or has she moved? So he gets on this very fast track race to find his sister and protect her, because he realizes there are people around that obviously mean to hurt her. And he wants to get answers to why he's where he's at. And we meet some other characters that I think are fascinating. Dr. Thomas Wilson is a guy who, he's in his late 70s. He's got Parkinson's. He's been studying genetics for years, and he's trying to find answers because he believes that inside the DNA of people walking around is this Morvicti, he doesn't know the name, but is this different species that he's been chasing around the globe his entire career and being ridiculed in his field. And so he is looking for these people as well. And so that's there's a lot of chases and gunfire. And I would say I like some of the reviews that have happened, because I feel humbled that they have compared it to sort of a Dan Brown, Stephen King, Anne Rice mashup. And that I'm very humbled and honored. I hope I do justice to it. But that's sort of the take of it. Several characters. Angelique plays a huge role. Her husband plays he's actually with the CIA, we learn, and all kinds of pandemonium that we all love in these thrillers, as you know, John. So that's what I think they can expect.
Right. I mean, you kind of have to take them, you know, 0 to 100 miles per hour, and you can't let up on the gas. I mean, on the brake, you just have to just let it go, and you know, it's like. You just have to just keep it rolling and rolling. And when you're writing a different genre, but now you're writing into the thriller part, and you kind of have to do this kind of pacing and you're doing this thing, what was kind of your biggest challenges as kind of turning the tables from, you know, from your one ego to now your alter ego and you know, and now you're writing it?
It is a complete different animal in how you tell the story. First of all, you know, the focus in romance, just to give that comparison, is the relationship. The suspense, which most of my books have some sort of element of suspense, is really in the back seat. It's important, and you want to make sure that it has a complete satisfactory end. You have the highs and lows. That's the same. It's just that it's in the back seat. The relationship between the characters are the most important thing. To me, the thriller, the relationship is, I do believe that relationships are important, you know, in thrillers, how they relate to their buddies or a love interest or a former mentor. Those things are important. But the action and the suspense and the plot of the story, that is really in the forefront. Is he going to, for instance, get the bomb deactivated before it blows up? Is he going to get to that location before somebody's killed? Those, you know, not that that's in these books, but that to me is what a thriller is about. You want that heart racing where you have to keep turning the page to get to the answer. Is he going to succeed, or she? Are they going to succeed? And that's in the forefront. And all of it, it's still story. All of those people, you want them to be three-dimensional, not two-dimensional, not stereotypes. You want to have you know, to me, as the writer of these books, Austin McCord is as real to me, and this may sound insane, as anybody. You know, I know this man very well. I know if he would have toast or a bagel. That's not in the book, but I know it. And I think most of the great authors know their characters so well that they know what they would choose for even the benign things. And if you can get that on the page and the people fall in love with the characters as much as you did when you were writing the book, I think you have a winner. And hopefully I did that. I sure did my best.
It's good that you said that, because that is actually my next question is, if Austin were to be on here with us right now and it was the two of you talking, and you know, I would ask him certain questions on certain things, you know, how would he answer? You know, who is Austin McCord, and what are people going to know about him, you know, when they read, because it's going to be like an ongoing series that he's going to be included in. So, you know, what are they going to know? What's the one thing that they're going to be introduced to? Who exactly is Austin McCord?
Austin McCord is like most heroes. I mean, Jack Reacher to me is a fantastic hero that Lee Child does. He is definitely doesn't have all the answers. He is looking. He has this sense of being, you know, an outsider. He's all, you know, his connection was with his SEAL team, and now that's gone. You know, he can't be connected to them anymore. And so he is a fish out of water. He is a loner. And yet he has his sister who continually pulls him back into the world is not all dark. The world is not all gloomy. And that is sort of his touchstone as he goes through all these books. I'm working on book two right now that continues to pull him back from the darkness. But he does kind of gravitate to, I wouldn't say he's a pessimist. He's a realist, but he looks at things very quickly and decides yes, no. You know, there's no gray in his world, I think. And so he struggles with connecting with people and really having a depth of a relationship. And that really began when he lost his adopted parents, because he doesn't deal with emotions well, especially deep emotions, because it's easier for him to shove them down or file them away and deal and go shoot some bad guys. He'd rather do that than deal with emotions. But what I constantly do is try to make him have to face that. He has to face the emotions, because that's really his biggest challenge. And he's an exciting guy. I mean, he's a hero to me in every way. He's going to do the right thing. He's always going to, you know, self-sacrifice is not hard for him when people are in need. Just that's to me the flaw that Austin has, which is an interesting flaw that he needs to, you know, I think a lot of guys have that issue, myself included, is being genuine, being real with themselves about their emotions. Men typically, and I'm, you know, slashing the whole gender here, but men typically emotions are more different than they are for women. And maybe
yes,
that's me coming from the romance world, but that's sort of what I want to play with Austin. And he's not there. I can guarantee you, book one, he is not self-actualized, John. He's still got a ways to go. But he's a terrific, interesting character, and, you know, very, very talented with his skills and being able to assess real difficult situations and decide and make decisions. Okay, we need to do this now. Go. And I love that
right.
about him.
And you mentioned emotion, and how chock full of emotion did you want this book to be, you know, when you start coming out, because this is like your debut, you know, you have to try to throw a bunch of stuff into the pot and let it simmer. And how do you think moving forward, emotionally, you know, driven, do you think your books are going to be? And, you know, have you kind of found the voice of an author that you think that this series is going to be in the future?
You know, I think I've done series before. Of course, this is the first thriller series, as we've already said, but I think they grow as you go. I think as an author, you discover new things about the series. I like depth in a book. I like to have some angst and all kinds of, as you said, I like the thing about the recipe. You know, I want action and I want suspense and I want a bunch of chase scenes and I want all that kind of stuff. But I also want to feel, because I'm riding along with them, I want to feel their heartbeat racing and their frustrations, their angers, their challenges as I go. And I hopefully the tone that I have in Morvicti Blood will, I mean, this is the voice that I will have for thrillers, but hopefully it will grow and expand into more, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to get deeper into the experience of the relationship with Angelique and Austin, because they are siblings, they are twins, and what is, you know, how are they going to relate to each other? They've solved it a little, the relationship. They've healed some of the wounds, but there's more things that they've got to work through. And in addition, this wasn't going to happen, but because I wrote the novella with Cassie showed up in Morvicti Blood. I actually went back because we hadn't gone to print, and I added Cassie into Morvicti Blood. And the funny thing that happened, and I don't know if other authors say this, you put characters in a room and you're like, oh my gosh, what just happened? There is definitely sexual chemistry between her and Austin. And mm-hmm. As I've been writing the second book, because Cassie plays a much bigger role in the second book, I put them in the room together a lot more to see what's going on with that. You know, she's kick-ass cop, you know, sharpshooter, and he's this Navy SEAL, so they both have huge egos. And I don't know that they're going to, it's going to take them a while. It won't be book two that they finally admit how they're feeling, but, or maybe it isn't. I'm halfway through.
Never know.
Maybe they will, but,
Never know.
You know, that's sort of how
we got
it goes
about
with me.
Well, we got about a minute left, and I want to give you the
okay.
last word to be able to kind of let everybody know where they can find you, website, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine yards, so they can, you know, follow you now on this thriller journey.
I would love that. It's leeswift.org is my website, and I think most of the links are there. I'm on Facebook as Lee Swift, I think it's author, and on Twitter. Just if you go to the website, you'll be able to get all my links. And I'd love to hear from you. And I just thank you, John, so much for having me here. I just have enjoyed it
immensely. Absolutely. Well, Lee, we want to thank you, of course, for, you know, everything. It's fabulous, and I'm sure that Shannon's not waiting for book two, so you better get your butt onto that one.
yeah.
You know, she can be relentless in those kinds of things. So just let you know it's coming.
I know. You're right. I know, John. I know.
All right, man. Well, you have a good one and enjoy, and we will talk with you soon.
All right. Thanks, John. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. So, again, everybody, that is author Lee Swift, and the book is called Morvicti Blood, Morvicti Blood. It is out now. You can go to Amazon, pick it up. It is on sale for $3.99. You can check out Morvicti Execution, 99 cents right now, a little bit of prequel story going into it, or you can, you know, read them however word you want to read them in. It doesn't make a difference. Check out leeswift.org for more information on the book and why Steve Barry, Andrew Grant, Kathleen Antrim all tell you it's a book you got to pick up and read today. So we want to thank Lee for coming on. We want to thank everybody for listening to the show. It's been a pleasure. Jeff and I will be back tomorrow night to have Yannick Besson on, along with David McCallum interview that Jeff did. So that's going to be an outstanding show. So until next time, everybody, we want to say thanks so much. We will see you on the other side, and keep on reading.